Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. I won't keep you long, I don't think. I called Tia this morning and told her she better do her ordering a little early. I know she's used to doing that according to our pastor, but I'm not near as long as he is. I don't know if it's a good thing or not. Probably not. Matthew chapter 11, and I want to, verses 28 through 30, I want to read those, and then I want to come back and try to make a few comments on them. The Lord said to you in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I was thinking this morning when I was reading those words, "Come unto me," I thought of what Brother Pruitt said the other night. I was listening to him a message. And he mentioned the two words, I believe it was, three words maybe, "Blessed are your eyes, blessed are you that hear," and what comfort there is for the believer in just a few words that the Lord has recorded in His Word for us. And here we find them in this right here. "Come unto me," the Lord says. Many, no doubt, have often repeated these words, and thousands have been comforted by these words. "Come unto me," the Lord Jesus Christ said. The words of the Lord Jesus brings joy to the heart of the true believer, doesn't it? Not all the time. You know, lots of times when we read, the Lord is for some reason pleased to hide things from us. And then another time when we're reading, it just seems like the words just leap out at us, doesn't it? Just leaps out at us. And that's what happens when the Lord opens His words that we have in this book to our hearts. It brings joy to our hearts. And we can never exhaust the music that they sound forth, can they? You know, the Lord's had preachers through all generations declaring the gospel. And what's happened? They have never exhausted this word. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. We've heard the statement, I'm sure all of us have, that it's music to our ears, things that we hear. How much more so when we hear the gospel of Christ, how it brings music to our ears. It brings contentment to the heart. Though it be sounded and resounded, and that's what happens when men preach to us, they rehearse over and over. I need repetition, don't you? I mean, seem like so many times when I hear a message, I've no sooner heard it than I forgot all about it. I need that repetition. I need the repetition. Though it sounded and resounded, it brings music to the believer's heart. When rest can be found nowhere else, rest can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His words, can it? And we notice here in our lesson here, who is invited? And I hesitate really to use that word invited. I'd rather think it's more of a command. Command to come to Christ. But who is invited to receive this rest? The Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All ye that labor. And there's a need for the insertion of that wide word all. You know, and I'm afraid that the religious people of our day, when they read this word all in the scriptures, they automatically include everybody in with it. But it's not so, is it? We have to see and qualify from what the Lord gives us who He's talking about. And He says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that are heavy laden." If you're not laboring over your sins, if your sin is causing you no problem, the Lord's not talking to you. You have no concern of Christ, do they? The one that's not laboring over their sin, they haven't seen their need of Christ. They don't want Him. You know, there were some people in the Lord's day. They said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." People are saying that today. So we have the Lord qualifies. I don't have to qualify it. The Lord has done it, hasn't He? "All, come ye all unto me." Who? "All that labor, all that are heavy laden, come to me." Had not the Savior said a little bit before in verse 25 there, He says, "I thank thee, O Father." And here who he's talking to. You know, the Lord makes a distinction between people, doesn't He? He told his people that Pharaoh, I think it was, that He'd made a distinction between the Egyptians and the Lord's people. He made a distinction. He said in verse 25 there, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, but He's revealed them unto babes." He made a distinction, didn't He? And He still does. We're not making the distinction. It's the Lord Himself. It's the Word of God that makes the distinction, isn't it? Some of these people here, no doubt, that had been listening to Christ, might have said, "The Father then has determined to whom He will reveal Christ." Yes, amen. I say amen to that. He has, hasn't He? He's determined to who He's going to reveal Christ to. He hasn't revealed Him to everybody. He hasn't revealed Christ to everybody. And He has determined, then there's a number chosen according to the Father's good pleasure to whom the gospel is revealed. There again we say amen, don't we? Because He has. Could this not be implied from verse 25? It sure is. It sure is. He said that He'd hid it from the wise and the prudent, but He's revealed it unto babes. He's revealed it, and the babes are those that the Father gave His Son before the world ever began to be redeemed. Those are whom Christ died for, aren't they? He didn't lay down His life for everybody. If He did, then all the multitudes in hell, Christ would be made a mock and failure, if that be true. But thank God it's not true. He has accomplished salvation for people that His Father gave Him. He has. We can rest there. That gives me rest to know that. That gives me comfort to know that Christ has died, laid down His life for a people. Another might say, "There's no invitation to me or for me. There is no hope for me. I need not listen to the gospel's warning and invitations." So Christ, as to discourage such thoughts, words His invitation as such, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden." Are you laboring over your sin? Is your sin causing you a problem? Have you found out what you really are? Then the Lord says, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Let it not be supposed that election has excluded any from the invitation of mercy. It hasn't, had it. Had it not been for election, what would have happened? We wouldn't, none of us, be saved, would we? If God had not elected a people to give to Christ, He would have damned the whole human race. He would have damned us all. And rightfully so. But He says, "All of you who labor are bidden to come. Come unto me." Come unto me. These are the words from Christ. That ought to encourage a man to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't it? And whatever the doctrine of predestination may involve, rest assured that it by no means narrows or diminishes the extent of the gospel of the invitation, does it? It don't do it. The good news or the gospel is to be preached to every creature. See, we don't know who the Lord's people is, do we? We don't know those for whom Christ died. That's not been brought into the fold yet. Therefore, we're to preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. There are many, and they do it because they miss who the Lord is speaking to here. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. There are many engaged in seeking salvation. They believe that by obeying the law, they will be saved. Not so. Christ said, come unto me, not the law. We don't invite men to come down to the front, do we? No, Christ said, come to me, come to me. You know, I've heard it so many times when people have talked about their coming to Christ. It's coming to an altar or coming down front to shake a, I call them a 6-foot icicle's hand. But Christ said, come to me. If a man has truly been brought to Christ, that's what he's going to say when somebody's asking him about his experience of salvation. I came to Christ. I came to Christ. I saw my need of Christ. I didn't come down front. We come to Christ, don't we? I'm glad it's that way, and I know you folks do too. But you cannot be saved by keeping a law. I remember talking to a person one time, and they said, ask them about they was talking about keeping the law. I said, are you keeping it? No, but I'm trying to. How sad, how sad. If we do not, the scripture tells us that if we fail to keep it just in one point of God's law, what does it say? It tells us that we are guilty of the whole law. We're guilty of it all. So we don't find salvation that way, do we? And they are endeavoring to the utmost to keep it, but to keep it in vain. They cannot. They cannot keep it. I think I could safely tell them this. If you can keep God's law, all of God's law in every point and not fail in any place, then God will accept you when you stand before Him. But it's not going to happen, is it? The law only tells us what we cannot do. It only condemns us, doesn't it? It's set to drive us to Christ if we see that we cannot keep the law. Some have been told that the performance of certain rites and riches will also save them. And they are performing them with great care, but to no avail. To no avail. Some are laboring in prayer. Christ said, come unto me. Come unto me. Some are self-denial and mortification. But as a whole, they are awakened to the fact that their conscience is still not satisfied. And I have been there myself, seeking God when I was lost. My conscience was screaming, do, do, do. Couldn't do enough. We can't do enough trying to keep God's law. But what happens when we come to Christ? And we find rest in Him. We find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we find? We find the words done, don't we? Done. Christ has done it all. He's done it all. A soul which has to bear the load of its own sin and load of divine wrath is indeed a soul that is heavy laden. While they hope at first that if they labor enough, they will gradually diminish the mass of their sin. It happens that their laboring adds their weariness beneath its pressure. They cannot no rest be found seeking Christ in such a way. Their laboring has not brought them rest. It has not. It never will. But only a burden of despair. Their conscience screams, do more, do more. But in Christ, the conscience says with a settled peace, done. It's done. It's done. We see these are undeserving. The people that the Lord is talking to here, come unto me. They're undeserving of rest, aren't they? Christ said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Why did he say, I will give you rest? Because it's to be found nowhere else but in him. Come unto me. A gift is not a merit, but of grace, isn't it? A gift. Wages and rewards are for those who earn them. But a gift, what is it? It's a matter of charity. It's charity, isn't it? That's what we receive from the hand of the Lord. We're not worthy of any of this, are we? He gives it to us. He said, come and buy without money. Without money. Some people, maybe there's some here, maybe you're too proud to receive charity. Well, that's all that we can receive from the Lord, isn't it? If so, one that thinks that way will never have the rest that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. For this rest is given. That's what he said here. He said, I will give, didn't he? I will give. It's given, and it's not merited. And notice the word here, come. It don't have no after or before. I'm not saying that right, I know. But it's a present tense. Come. Come. It's a continual thing. When you find the three letters on words in the scriptures, ETH, cometh, believeth. It's not a one-time thing, is it? It means that we continually do that. We continually do that. Come unto me. A simple word, but very full of meaning. To come is to leave. It's to leave one thing and to come to another. If I'm coming to Christ, then I'm walking away from something else, aren't I? If one comes to Christ, they're leaving something to come to him. And they need to do that, or the Lord would not said that, would he? To come unto him. Come unto me. Come ye, laboring and heavy laden, leave your own labors, leave your self-reliant efforts, leave your sins, leave your presumptions, leave all in which you have trusted and come to Christ. I'm just simply saying, rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. Nothing else. There's no hope in nothing else, is there? There's no hope in nothing else. Let your thoughts be of him who bore the load of sin upon the cross. Let your minds, let us consider him who received, who endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. The Lord didn't say, come tomorrow, come next week, but he said, come, come now, come now, come now, at once. The load of sin which we carried when we came to Christ could not be removed by us. If it could have, if we could do anything about it, the Lord would not have commanded us to come to Him. To come to Him. Come to Him for rest. Come to Him for peace. But it had to be removed by another. Come to Christ. He is the only one who can give you rest from that heavy load that He just mentioned. All you that are labor and heavy laden. Come you need it. Come and take the rest that you need. Come without money. It can't be bought, can it? It can't be bought. It can't be bought. Come without merit. We can't do enough to receive it. Come without your merit. Come without preparations. Don't say, well, I'll come tomorrow. I'll come when I get better. No, Christ says, come now. Come now. Come now. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what He says there, wasn't it? Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. There's rest in no other, my dear friend, than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give a heart, a soul that's full of sin, that's heavy laden, that's laboring. He's the only one that can give that rest, isn't He? Come to Him and you shall, not might, not maybe, but you shall find rest for your soul. Isn't that wonderful to know that? To experience such a thing as that? That when we come to Christ, oh my, why did I wait so long? What rest. You can put your head on your pillow at night and rest. Rest in Christ. Knowing that your sin is all gone. He didn't just pay for some of them, did He? If He had them, we'd be in a world of hurt. But He put them all away. They're all cast into the depths of the sea. Christ bore them all away. He bore them all away. Come unto me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Let us stand, if you will, and we'd be dismissed in a word of prayer.